Well, if you're here with us in the room in Hamilton or in Burlington this morning, it's Labor Day weekend, or if you're listening online live, if you are catching up, we're recording this on Labor Day weekend, and this is one of those weekends that is a real hinge for a lot of people. Maybe not everybody feels that way, but I know for a lot of us, it feels like a transition moment in the year. The beginning of September oftentimes feels a little bit like New Year does, where a lot of new rhythms and routines get started. I know that certainly in our house, we're getting into back to school mode, as many of you are. If you have kids, or if you are a teacher, an educator, administrator in a school, if you have grandkids maybe that you're involved in, you feel that way. The next couple of days are big ones as we get ready and we get back to school. Even if that's not you, you notice that this is a time of year where there is a transition in the weather. The warm days remind us that summer is still hanging around, and the cool nights remind us that fall is right around the corner and that there are new things happening. For us, it means we're right in this transition point for our kids, especially not just at school, but also in some of their activities. And so baseball season is ending and football season is starting. Football season, that takes the sting out of baseball being over. Football is starting. That's nice. A new year of gymnastics for our daughter is getting going. So not just school, but some of those things that are all new and are happening. And again, you might have a lot of that in your life. And even if it's not some of those things, it might just be that vacation times are ending. Maybe we're getting back to work a little bit more. Or again, maybe it's just the weather and realizing we're getting into a transition. But it's some of those transition times where there is a certain amount of uncertainty in our lives. Or lack of predictability that makes us nervous sometimes. So, for example, our kids going into school this past week, a couple days ago, we found out who their teachers were in school. And so they're all asking, who's my teacher? Who's my teacher? Do you know this teacher? Are they strict? Are they fun? Are they nice? Are they kind? And they're trying in their mind to figure out what the year is going to look like and how it's going to feel and what they're going to be involved in and if they're going to enjoy it. And you might have moments like that too, wondering about what does this next season bring? What's coming down the pipe? What are we going to be experiencing over this next season? And there's certainly things in life that we cannot control and that we cannot predict. There's circumstances that will come up over the next year that I don't know anything about, you don't know anything about, that you won't be able to 100% prepare for. There will be things that people do or say, there'll be world events, there'll be things maybe in your family or in your friend groups that you won't have expected and you wish you could have predicted, but you can't. But today, what I want to do, because I know that can be intimidating, especially if you're somewhere new. We know that, for example, students, university, college students, you might be moving to a new city from a new place, and things might look very different for you. You go, oh, that's very intimidating. I wish I could control my environment all the time, but I can't. And part of life is learning that we can't control everything. But today, what I want to do is talk about a reliable tool to predict what is going to happen in your life this year. And over the next 3 years, and over the next 5 years. Because as much as there are circumstances that are beyond all of our control, there are some things that are very reliable that we can predict about who we are and who we're becoming. And so if we choose, we actually have the power, in certain areas of our life at least, to set a trajectory and to do that on purpose. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to do that by jumping out of a passage in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians is a little letter in the New Testament written to the people of Galatia. And similar, we've been in the book of Corinthians, the letters of Corinthians last couple of weeks, and we've been talking about some of the stresses and struggles of the church in Corinth that Paul was writing back to. And this is a letter similarly in fashion to the church in Galatia, Paul trying to instruct them how to learn and how to grow. And there's this really powerful passage I want to read to you today where he talks about some of the ways that they could actually have some predictable success in their life, or some predictable failure. But at least what we're going to do today is to bring that to the surface and say, here's what you can predict. Here's what you can look forward and say, this is a reliable principle in my life that tells me what trajectory I'm on when I ask the question, what kind of person am I becoming? Who am I becoming? Who do I want to be? And so this series, we've been talking about wanting to be mastered by nothing. We want to have nothing in our lives that's holding us back or that has chains around us. And we want to acknowledge those things. We talked about that in the first week. In the second message, we talked about building some routines and rhythms that help us to be more healthy and more free and to throw off some of the things that might be holding us, enslaving us. And today I want to talk about that trajectory of who we are becoming and one reliable principle that will help us to know if we're on the track that we want to be or not. Galatians chapter 6, and I'll start reading in verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." This is, for Paul, right at the beginning of that little passage, a reality check. Don't fool yourselves. He says, do not be deceived. Do not lie to yourself. Do not pretend that something is true that's not true. This is a moment where Paul is going to say, I'm encouraging you to look in the mirror and to talk about reality. Not what you want to be true, not what you wish was true. Don't be fooled. Don't be lied to. Do not lie to yourself even. This is a moment, an invitation for us to step into what is true. And we all have bias, and we all have a perspective, and we all have ways that we spin things in our own mind about ourselves or about other people or about our circumstances. And here Paul is trying to wake us up to say, you can't just easily eliminate all of those things. But for a moment, let's try to not be deceived, not try and fool ourselves. And then he says, God is not mocked. That's interesting. And the phrase literally means to turn your nose up at someone or something, to insult them in some way, or to try and ignore their authority or their opinion or what they are saying to you. And here he says, you don't be lied to, whether that's from yourself or from some other source. God will not be mocked. You can't turn your nose up, literally, that's what the idiom is, and say, this isn't how things work. This isn't how life really is. He's about to share a powerful principle. And he's saying, don't think that you could lie to yourself and mock God and say that things will turn out different for you or that you're the exception to the rule. He's about to share a very, very important principle. I don't want you to walk away thinking, doesn't apply to me, because God will not be mocked. In other words, God is. In fact, the name for God, the most intimate name for God in the scriptures is Yahweh, and it comes from the verb to be. He will be who he is. God is. God isn't who you want him to be or who I want him to be. God isn't who we say he is. God isn't who we think he is. God isn't the box that we put him in. God is. So reality, it's just truth. It's just an axiomatic statement at the core of everything. God is. It is true. And we can come up with all kinds of things that we think or opine or have ideas about, but at the end of the day, God is what is. He is that he is. And so, when we are faced with reality and what is true, we can choose to accept it, we can choose to deny it, but Paul is kind of coming into something, he's saying, I don't want you to deceive yourself and to try and mock God or turn your nose up and think that something that really applies to everything doesn't apply to you. Pretty strong statement. He's saying, I want to tell you what is. God is. He won't be mocked. Don't refuse to acknowledge what's really true or what really matters. And he follows that up by giving this powerful principle. Whatever one sows, that will they also reap. You reap what you sow. That's the principle. There's a lot of things in life we can't control, as I've talked about. There are circumstances, you can't control other people, what they do. You can't control certain global events. You can't control all sorts, and I get that. Very unpredictable, but here's a very predictable principle. You will reap what you sow, so don't fool yourself. In other words, he's saying things like, don't underestimate what your repeated choices are doing to you. Don't live as though you can disregard God's reality and escape the consequences. By the way, both negative and positive. We mock God when we assume that our stated intentions can somehow cancel out our actual patterns. Maybe you've done that before. Well, I mean well. Well, I'm trying hard. Well, my motivations are good. Could all be true, and I can empathize with all of those things. But here, the principle is, you will reap what you sow. Don't ignore that design, that principle, that whole idea that that's how the world works. God is not mocked. It means you cannot continually sow one kind of life and expect God to give you a completely different kind of harvest. So we are in Southern Ontario right now, I think, sort of in between growing seasons, right? So maybe in the summertime, late June or July, you went with some friends or you took your kids to go strawberry picking. And it was strawberry season, and so you went to a strawberry patch and you went out and you went out in the hot sun for hours and hours and hours, and it doesn't appeal to me. I don't know why people do this. They will pick them for you and you can just buy them. But this is a favorite activity of people. We do it every year with our family. We go and we pick the strawberries and you eat a whole bunch, even though they tell you you're not supposed to eat a whole bunch because you got to pay for them all, and you bring them back or whatever. Now, that season, the berry season, is coming to a close, and then we are coming into apple picking season. And you do the same thing, except the weather can be a lot nicer. Maybe it's a little bit warm, but sort of cool chill in the air. And you go walk through the apple orchards, and maybe there's a pumpkin patch there. And the seasons have changed, and so your expectations have changed, and you've gone to a different place. Now imagine for a second, you come in, it's late September or early October, and you go to an apple orchard, and you're walking down the different rows of all the trees, and you're looking around, and you look, and on the leaves of the trees are hanging strawberries. Strawberries everywhere. You'd be walking through and you would go, this is not right. This is not what I have expected. This is not supposed to happen. This actually defies the very laws of nature, because I know that in June or July, I can go out to a patch and there's these leafy, low plants that are on the ground, and there's strawberries that are the fruit of those plants. But in October, when I go to the orchard, there are trees, and from the trees hang apples that we pick in a different way. And every single time, in July when I go for strawberries and in October when I go for apples, I find strawberries in the strawberry patch and I find apples in the apple orchard. Every single time. Because once upon a time, somebody went out in that field and planted a bunch of crops. And in one field, they planted a bunch of strawberry plants. And in one field, they planted a bunch of apple trees so that one day, strawberries would grow over here and apples would grow over here. And you're all sitting there going right now, why is he telling all this, the most obvious thing in the entire world? And that is Paul's point. You will reap what you sow. When you plant apple trees, you get apple trees that produce apples. They're never, ever going to produce strawberries. When you plant strawberry plants, you're going to get strawberry plants. You're not going to get an apple tree. Every single time, you reap what you sow. And Paul is saying, don't be surprised about that. Don't ignore that. Don't pretend that you're the exception. I'm the strawberry plant that can grow apples. No, you're not, because it doesn't work that way. The seeds that get planted have all of the components to grow whatever it is that they are. So God is God, and this is reality. You will reap what you sow. What does that mean? So sowing is planting seeds. You go out and you plant those seeds. Now, there's maybe a couple of things that we could notice about this metaphor that would help us understand how this works in our lives. And especially if you're not a farmer or a gardener, you don't do this all the time. But again, they're very obvious. So one thing is that most seeds are really, really small. In fact, if you knew nothing about planting anything, and you walked and talked to a farmer and you said, hey, you're going to go plant whatever it is you're going to plant, and he showed you, he just gave you one seed, you would hold this thing in your hand, you would say, this is so small and so insignificant. What's going to happen with this? And he might tell you, depending on what kind of plant or tree or whatever, he might say, that looks very, very small right now. But when we put it in the ground in the right kind of soil, and when we tend to it and it gets sunlight and it gets water, it gets the nutrients that it needs, over time it's going to grow and grow and grow. And if you wait long enough, that seed is going to become an entire tree. And if you had never known anything about that, you would say, that's amazing. I'm holding this little tiny seed. You're telling me it's going to become one of those big, huge trees one day? They would say, exactly. That's the power of a seed. that's one of the powerful things of sowing seeds. So if we make the connection and say, today I'm going to make a bunch of decisions, or I'm going to perform a bunch of actions, I'm going to say a bunch of things that I might think are just little tiny seeds. And I might say, no big deal. Just a little tiny thing. Hold, it's not a big tree of a decision. Small little thing. Small little choice. Yeah, but if you plant that seed in the right soil with the right conditions and the right nutrients, and if you plant not just one seed, but if you plant, like a farmer does, hundreds of seeds, thousands of seeds, then second thing is, over time, he might say to you, and by the way, if you plant this seed today, don't come back in 3 hours and go, oh, what happened? I thought we were growing something. Might say, and then we need to be patient because that seed, given all the right conditions and nutrients, we won't see anything today. We won't see anything next week. We won't see anything maybe for a number of weeks, but all of a sudden you're going to see a little sprout come up, and then the sprout is going to grow and it's going to get stronger and it's going to build into something. If you give it the right amount of time, that very small seed is going to grow into something very big and one day will bear fruit. So our decisions, you might say today, not a big deal if I do that, and you might be right, not that significant, very small in and of itself, but has the power to grow into something big. And when given patience and all the right conditions, those seeds have everything inside of them. It's amazing to think, become huge trees in some circumstances that bear big time fruit. Seeds are small, and oftentimes there's no instant change. You don't see an instant, man, I did this one thing, and then all of a sudden there was a change. But small decisions repeated over time yield big results. This is so powerful. This is like the character version of what financial advisors will tell you about compounding interest, is that you put in a little today and you go, oh, that's not much money. I just put a little bit of money in an account. And they go, that's true. But if you do that every month, it's little seeds, it's little seeds, it's little seeds. And then it grows, then it gets interest, and then you make interest off your interest. And then eventually, if you do it for long enough, you're making more interest than you're actually depositing into the account. And that actually, at the end of the day, if you waited for decades and decades, you look back and say, I've made more in interest than I've ever put in the first place. All the time I've deposited, I haven't made as much as I've made interest. It grows and grows and grows. Small decisions repeated over time yield big results. The decisions we make, say, oh, it's just one-off. Yeah, and one-off, does that change the whole world? No. But those little tiny seeds planted over and over and over and allowed to grow over time yield big results in our lives, in our communities, in the world. Jesus talked about this is what faith looks like expressed in his kingdom. So Paul mentioned that you can sow to your flesh or you can sow to the spirit. So you can be planting things that are growing, investing in the flesh or in the spirit. Here's what he means about those two things. Often confused, sometimes when Paul writes in these letters and he talks about the flesh and people think that he's talking about the body or physical things. That's actually one of the way you could translate the word that he uses here, but it's not what he's talking about. He's not saying that material things or physical things or your body is bad and spiritual things are good. That's a huge misreading of what Paul or Jesus or anybody in the New Testament would say. Flesh, this is what he means when he says flesh. Flesh is humanity oriented away from God. So whenever he's talking about this idea of flesh, he's talking about the part of us that is moving away from God, not toward God. The part of us that is becoming less healthy, not more healthy. So in a chapter right before the one that we just read, he talks about this as sinful nature. That's sometimes how it's translated, the flesh. And he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So when you sow seeds to the flesh, here's how you know. This is what grows in your life when you sow those kinds of seeds. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. When you sow to the flesh, you sow to the flesh whenever you repeatedly feed something that you ultimately don't want ruling you. Things that can end up mastering you, taking over your life in a negative way, in an unhealthy way. Things that eventually hurt you and hurt the relationships you have with other people, your relationship with God, your relationships in community. See all the words about fighting and division and all the things that are selfish and pointed at me, 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 me. This is what it looks like when you're sowing to the flesh. Paul says back in the sixth chapter is that when you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This idea of corruption is when things fall apart, when things start to decay, when we're not building something up, but something is being torn down or atrophying. So what can that look like? You can see that happening right now. You don't have to wait. You can see I can see in my own life, where am I seeing seeds that are sown to the flesh that are then resulting in this corruption, things that are falling apart. I'll give you some examples. If you sow resentment, for example. So I've got these seeds of resentment and I can't give up that bitterness I have towards someone, the grudge that I have against someone. What happens? Your relationships deteriorate. They start to get corrupted. They break apart. That's not going to bring you together. It's going to tear you apart. If you sow greed, contentment deteriorates. If you're always focusing on and making decisions and planting seeds that say, I need more, all of my money is for me and my consumption and what I want, then over time, you have less and less contentment and more discontentment. And it becomes a cycle of greed, grows up, starts to bear fruit. If you sow lust, then intimacy deteriorates in your marriage or with a partner, someone in real life. If you sow dishonesty, trust deteriorates. You plant those seeds and you realize, oh, people don't listen to me anymore. They don't believe me anymore because that's grown up in that relationship and in those instances. If you sow self-indulgence, self-control deteriorates. If you sow isolation, community deteriorates. If you sow constant distraction, attention deteriorates. If you sow pride, teachability deteriorates. And that is what Paul's saying. If you sow these seeds to the flesh, you see corruption. You see things falling apart. And some of these are a great way to check. You could check today. Just, okay, where am I seeing breakdowns? Maybe it's, I haven't even noticed some of the seeds that I'm planting. They're not even conscious. But you could say, where are you seeing corruption in your life right now? You might be saying, man, our finances have totally fallen apart. And you say, okay, well, let's work backwards from that. There are things you can't control sometimes that come up, and I acknowledge that, but you might also ask, what seeds have we been planting in our finances? You might have some real struggles, maybe some specific struggles in your marriage. You go, why are we always fighting about this? Why is this always tearing us apart? And you go back and you say, okay, well, what are the seeds that we're planting? What's been growing to get us to this point? What have we allowed to plant in our life and then given the right conditions for those things to get bigger? And if we're honest with ourselves, we're saying, oh, that's not good. That's not building to what we want. That's leading us away from what we want. That's not building us to get closer to God. That's actually something that's steering me further away from God, my relationship with Him, my experience of Him. Look for something good, even, gradually becoming disordered, damaged, or diminished. And that's where you'll see, oh, this is the result of seeds that have been planted that have grown up to corruption. And now there's some kind of harvest. Then Paul says the other way to go about things is to sow to the Spirit. When we sow to the Spirit, he's talking about repeatedly ordering your life in ways that cooperate with and make room for the Spirit's work in you. And so it's the same principle. There are decisions, there are thoughts, there are little tiny seeds that you might think are insignificant, but little tiny seeds planted over time and given the right condition grow and grow and grow. So if you sow to the Spirit, it's how do I plant things in my life that allow me to cooperate, be open to, make room for what the Spirit wants to do in my life? It's things like surrender. How do I surrender my decisions to what God wants for me? It might be things like sowing quietness in our life so that we're listening. It might be sowing attention on the scriptures or on relationships that God is steering us to or towards simply sitting and listening to His voice. It might be sowing love and care in the most practical ways for the people around us who are in need. You say, oh, in a really spectacular, huge way that changes their life? Maybe, but maybe it'll just look like planting a seed. Something that's really small and insignificant, but if allowed to grow over time, yields a huge reward. So Paul, in Galatians 5, when he had talked about what it looks like to get the results of sowing seeds to the flesh, he also says, here's the results, here's the fruit of sowing seeds to the Spirit. So what kind of plant are we looking at? Are we in a strawberry field? Are we in an apple orchard? And he says, these are the fruit of the Spirit. This will grow. So this, you'll know, when you see these kinds of things growing more and more in your life, maybe very slowly the way that plants grow, but when you see these things happening more in your life, you could also track them back and say, oh, seeds have been planted and grown in my life as well. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound free? Wouldn't you love for your life to be the apple orchard of the fruit of the Spirit? More love, more joy, more peace, more patience. So don't be deceived. Don't turn your nose up at what God says is a reliable principle. The seeds that you plant grow into the kind of fruit that they are designed to. So it means planting little seeds that reinforce the kind of person the Spirit is forming you to become. Little seeds, little seeds, little seeds, over time, growing into something big. And Paul says, what that is growing into is eternal life. So on the one hand is corruption. Wow, things are deteriorating in my life. Eternal life is the opposite. It's the life of God's coming new creation. So the other distinction we should make here is that sometimes corruption and eternal life, people automatically think heaven and hell. But Paul's not talking primarily about heaven and hell here. And that's not that I don't believe that these kind of plants grow into eternity. I do. But he's not saying if you plant this seed, you'll go to hell. And if you plant this seed, you'll go to heaven. He's saying if you plant these seeds in your life one way or another, certain fruit will grow predictably in your life. And you will be becoming a certain kind of person that you can notice now. You are setting a trajectory for your life. And so you can notice corruption now. But you can also notice eternal life now. You see, God's plan through Jesus, the death and the resurrection, Jesus being resurrected from the dead, is that he is going to give life to all of creation, redeeming everything, putting everything back to the way it should be to live. That's eternal life. We participate in eternal life now when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and allow him to grow in us the fruit that he wants to grow in us. And we might say there's still an element of the world is corrupted and my life is corrupted and we see that corruption, and that's true. But there's also an element where we see God's renewed creation, all of creation. We see fruit, to use the metaphor, growing in this world, even when we still see the corruption. And Paul says, so plant wisely, because you're going to reap what you sow. But if you plant and you sow to the Spirit and open yourself up to the Spirit, you can start to experience God's eternal abundant life now and set a trajectory from where your life is going. And notice that he says, and this isn't just something that you do, he says it's from the Spirit. This is empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is what God's Spirit wants to do in your life. This isn't just you saying, if I make good decisions, my life turns out a certain way. No, because of course there's unpredictable things that happen and things that we can't control. And it's not just my power to overcome all of those things and hopefully it goes right more often than it goes wrong. It is a cooperation with the Holy Spirit who wants to empower in our lives, that he ultimately grows this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in us as he is making us who we are. And so we sow honesty and wisdom and our attention and forgiveness and understanding and empathy and love and surrender to open up ourselves to the ways that God wants to work in our lives. Two things to make this hopefully very practical for us as we walk away and we finish this series and think about wanting to experience the eternal life and sow those seeds. First question I'd love for you to ask. I would encourage you to ask this week. You can work backwards from some corruption maybe that we all have in our lives. And that's not to shame anybody. It's just to say, don't be deceived. Let's look. Let's see what's growing in our lives. But also maybe there's some great fruit in your life too. What seeds are you planting? And do your best to go back. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't lie to yourself. Don't just go and say, oh, look at all the great seeds that I'm planting. Here's some filters that might help you to think through, oh, what are the seeds I'm actually planting? Okay, so number one, take a look at your calendar. What gets my time? Okay, what do you give your time to? Ask yourself this. What do you never miss in your calendar? What always gets priority? I always show up for this. I show up on time. I make sure that I'm there. And you could ask yourself, if that's true, I spend quite a bit of time on certain things, what kind of seed is that? So I'm in the stage of life. We're in the stage of life, our family. We got two kids. They're 7 and 10. And we're getting into that place where this is actually a huge challenge because they're big into sports and their activities and all the things that happen after school. And there's a whole culture around that of, your kid's got to be the best athlete and be on the best teams and do all the tournaments and the games and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, your daughter's in gymnastics and there's all these opportunities. And if she tries out for this, she can do this. But it's double the amount of time. And there are all these things. And they're all wonderful, good things. And you can throw in not just sports. You can throw in music. You can throw in theater. You can throw in tutoring. You can throw in all the things you might do. We're in that phase where it's getting pretty busy. And this can be a really, really challenging question. What gets our time? What do we always say we will make time for, and then what doesn't get time? That's going to show you some significant seeds that you're planting. Some of you are in sort of the opposite phase, and you look at your calendar and you say, my calendar is largely empty. Actually, I would love to put more things in the calendar. I'm in a phase of life that's different than that. And that's great too, because that's an opportunity to say, you look at your calendar and be intentional about it. What will your time indicate are the seeds that you're planting, the people you want to spend time with, the things you want to spend doing with? What are you going to put in there? Okay, secondly, look at your phone, and you'll find out quickly what gets your attention. What gets my attention? Look at your phone. Your phone will tell you, of course, you can get the reports, how much time you spent staring at it in the past week, what your averages are. Most of our phones will tell us what we were actually doing on our phone. So what apps you were using, was it communication, was it social media, was it something for work? But your phone will tell you what gets your attention, the amount that we scroll, the amount that we text, the amounts that we consume news, all of those kinds of things. And again, just gives you a little less maybe bias information about what you spend your time doing. Where is my attention going? You might want to compare that to how much time do I sit in scripture? How much time do I sit in quiet prayer? How much time do I phone a friend instead of scroll through a news app? Third, money. What gets my resources? Jesus taught more about money than just about anything other than salvation, maybe, in himself. But money, what gets my resources? Your heart will follow your treasure. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. When you start throwing money at something, your heart, your will starts to follow your money. So if you want to know, what am I really invested in deep down? What's important to me? Don't lie to yourself. Look at your credit card statement. Look at your transactions. Look at how much you spend on different things in life. Again, some things you've got more control over than others there, but your money will be telling you what gets your resources and where your heart is gravitating towards. Can be intentional about where you send your money, which means you can be intentional about where you're sending your heart. Isn't that incredible? That's a seed that can grow. Go, I want to be invested in God's kingdom. What do? Start planting some seeds. Start sending your money there. What's most important to you? Routines, what gets repeated? What am I doing all the time? Similar to the calendar, what do I never miss? What is always represented in my life? What do we see on a regular basis? And then reactions, how or what do I automatically turn towards? Talked about this last week. When I'm bored, when I'm stressed, when I'm angry, when somebody does something to offend me, what is my most natural reaction? What do I run towards, or what comes out of me? That's going to show you where there is fruit in your life and seeds that have planted. And then, after asking yourself and maybe evaluating some of these deep things, the second thing I encourage you to do is imagine the harvest. If I continue these patterns, if I continue the patterns I have with my calendar, my phone, my money, my routines, my reactions, my disciplines, whatever it might be for you, whatever phase, if I continue doing what I'm doing, who am I going to become? Who am I becoming? Because what you reap, you will sow. That's how it works. There is a trajectory already. Where is my current trajectory taking me? And there might be a certain aspect of life that comes up for you, and you go, oh, here's one where I don't know if that's a trajectory I want to go on. Maybe that's one I want to change. That's good. You've acknowledged some seeds that are being planted and growing, and maybe that need to be uprooted, and other seeds need to be planted. Where is my current trajectory taking me? Do I like the person I'm becoming? Is that who I want to be? Do I want more of these things in my life, or do I want less? And then here's the really good news. You can't control everything in life, but you will reap what you sow, which means you get to decide, if I want more of the Holy Spirit's fruit in my life, I get to choose to plant some seeds and to water them and to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit who's going to do those things in my life to create the fruit that only He can create. But I can cooperate with the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. I can interrupt my current trajectory and go a different way. I don't want to go towards corruption. I want to go to eternal life. You can plant those seeds. And what you reap, you will sow. So there is a bit of a choose your own adventure here. What seeds will you plant this year? Who do you want to become? What do you want your marriage to look like? What do you hope your finances will look like a year from now, 3 years, 5 years? What do you want to spend your time doing such that it might change your life in certain ways? What is it that you want to give your attention to so that your mind will ruminate on those thoughts which will change your emotions and will change your behavior? There are many things that are unpredictable, but this is very predictable. The seeds that you plant will grow, and you will reap what you sow. So Heavenly Father, we thank You that you have sowed the good news. You have given us the seeds of the life that You want for us and for the world, the love that You have for us. You've given us Your Spirit to empower that kind of growth, and we want to thank You for that. Today we want to acknowledge that while we don't have control over everything, we yield to You control, but also we know that we can predict where our decisions over time repeated will go. Today, would You give us a clear look at ourselves and who we are, and perhaps where there are seeds growing in our lives that we need to uproot? Would You give us courage and the strength to plant seeds that are sown to Your Spirit, that will grow up into the beautiful fruit that is eternal life, that we can start to taste now, that we can set a trajectory to live in for all of eternity? Thank You for giving us Jesus, who showed us what that kind of love looks like. And thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who empowers it each and every day. May the trajectory of our lives and our church and our community be one that is always coming closer and closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen.